Premier Gordon Campbell has promised British Columbians the most sustainable Olympic Games ever and has pledged to protect and enhance natural landscapes. For the people fighting to save Eagle Ridge Bluffs in West Vancouver, these promises ring rather hollow. Logging has already started to make way for a four-lane highway that will be blasted right through the bluffs. Dennis Perry is president of the Coalition to Save Eagle Ridge Bluffs, and he's joined us on the line this morning from Whistler. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
So where exactly are the Eagle Ridge Bluffs?
The bluffs are right at Exit 2 on the Upper Levels Highway in West Vancouver, just before you drop down into Horseshoe Bay. So the bluffs just rise right above that exit on the north side of the road.
And so would the proposed new highway, would it cut directly into the bluffs?
It will be blasted right through the bluffs. It'll be a 100-foot deep canyon right there at the bluffs. It will then circle around and basically run right onto the very edge of the Larsen Creek wetlands.
And what traffic problem is the government suggesting that this new highway will solve?
Well, their own commitment to themselves is a four-lane highway right through to Whistler, and that's sparked by the Olympics for sure, but it's all ultimately to address the long-term population growth of the whole Sea to Sky corridor.
What other solutions are there to address these concerns?
Well, that's the big issue here in this whole question on breaking of the sustainable Olympic promise. There are alternatives which don't destroy all of these natural values that get destroyed with this 2.5-kilometer overland route. And the values that get destroyed are the two most important ecosystems in the whole Sea to Sky corridor, Horseshoe Bay to Whistler, and this is according to the Ministry of Transportation itself, and that's the mixed arbutus groves right at the bluffs, which are the best example in the whole mainland of BC, and also the Larsen Creek wetlands, which are one of the few high-elevation peat bogs in the lower mainland, and home to the blue-listed red-legged frog and also the northern alligator lizard. And so that's the environmental side of things. Why would we want to do this if there's an alternative that protects that? And the other is 2.5 kilometers, the Baden-Powell Trail gets compromised forever, one of the most important trails in the lower mainland, and a huge recreation focus. And then you've got the natural beauty of the area that gets blasted apart. And sure, it's going to be scenic sitting in a car, but for anybody looking at it, whether it's from Bowen Island, Point Grey, or the middle of Georgia Strait, it's going to be the ugliest scar, the ugliest thing you could imagine.
You mentioned that there are some other solutions or alternatives. What do you think those could be?
Well, the government made a very hasty decision in the summer of 2004. Kevin Falcon, Minister of Transportation, made it without all the information on the table, and has been resistant to all overtures, all requests to meet to come up with the best route. And the best route, which it appears that government hasn't even studied, are a four-lane divided tunnel, which protects all values and addresses safety issues the best, et cetera, et cetera. Another route way to go about this is simply to add a third lane to the existing highway. That would be the stretch from Horseshoe Bay through to Sunset Beach. It's about 3 kilometers long. And if that was the route chosen, just to simply add the third lane there, we'd probably save $100 million plus versus the ultimate cost of the overland highway.
You've also argued that this highway route would be more dangerous than a tunnel. Why is that?
Well, Kevin Falcon, and this is in line with the way governments deceived the population of BC, I'd say deceived and even betrayed on this whole issue. He'll always argue that the overland route is the safest, but he's comparing it to a single two-lane tube. There's absolutely no doubt that a four-lane divided tunnel, which is actually two tubes, is by far and away safer than what we're going to end up with this overland route. The overland route it basically addresses minimal safety and engineering standards. And when you add up all the curves and dips on this road and the fact that we're piling sea-to-sky traffic on top of ferry traffic, there are huge concerns. And even the former head of safety for Ministry of Transportation, who happens to work for West Vancouver now, is highly concerned with the safety issues, as is the broader community. The tunnel is by far and away the best option, but even straightening and widening the existing road, adding that third lane, also protects all values and would address the safety issues.
The issue that often comes up with tunnels is the cost. Do you think that's why the government isn't pursuing it?
Well, that will be what Kevin Falcon says, but in fact, there is a big unknown out there, and so many things are unknown with regard to every option out there, mainly because the government has not been transparent. They've never put all the information on the table. They're the ones that should have the best information, and why haven't they been open with the public on this? We would, from everything we've seen, a tunnel would cost probably in the area of $200 million, maybe more, but we also know that the government's figure of $130 million for the overland route is totally pie in the sky, because they're not including anywhere near the cost that they should be including of expropriating the lands they need to from British Pacific Properties in West Vancouver. And that could add another $80 million, $80 million plus to that $130. So you put it all together, and I think at the end of the day, a tunnel might not cost any more. But if it did, the federal government has said, given us the verbal assurance a year ago, that they'd come in and make up any difference. The problem is that the province has been unwilling to accept this. And yet the province has also told West Vancouver, if the municipality can come up with the money, then we can have the tunnel. That would be unprecedented in BC, though, for a municipality to have to pay for a major federal and provincial highway.
Your coalition has been working on this issue for about 2 years now. Have you managed to secure a meeting with the minister to discuss your concerns?
Four of us did meet with the minister in February of last year, and our plea was for him to meet with all the stakeholders, which would be the municipalities of the Greater Vancouver Regional District, led by West Vancouver, because the GVRD and West Van have been totally against this overland route from the beginning, and in fact, I think probably most of the listeners would be aware that West Van has sued the province and the federal government on environmental grounds, and in fact, basically won the suit in terms of their concerns. The judge, however, ruled in favor of the highway proceeding and just stated that, in his view, all of these issues could be mitigated as the highway was built, which we would dispute totally. So I guess to answer the question in a brief one-word sentence, the minister, since he made up his mind in 2004, has resisted every request to meet with the stakeholders and local government to come up with the right decision for British Columbia.
I mentioned in my introduction that logging has already started in the area. Do you have a sense of how much longer it will be before the blasting begins?
Well, the best that we can tell is by about mid to late April, the whole 2.5 kilometer right away will have been logged, and that will be about 175-foot swath. Blasting would start, I would imagine, right after that. So by the end of April, this wonderful area of eagles, eagle nests, and red-legged frogs above Horseshoe Bay will be decimated. So we're going to do our absolute best in this next few weeks to make sure that doesn't happen, and hopefully wake Gordon Campbell up to the fact that let's do the right thing for BC, let's meet with local government. We've still got time to build the tunnels. We know that from talking to tunnel engineers in California, and we still have time, loads of time, to add a third lane if that's the option chosen.
It sounds like there's a lot to do in the next few weeks as this moves into the next stage of this project. What plans do you have to continue to raise awareness about this issue in the coming weeks and months?
Well, one of our big focuses is because you know you've got to spread the word and get the knowledge out there and broaden your constituents, your supporters. And believe me, when people realize what's happening, when they've had it explained to them, they are so on side with anything but that overland route and so angry with government, it's not funny. So one of our focuses has been the Olympic promise. Gordon Campbell's promise to the world on behalf of Canada that this will be the most sustainable Olympics yet, the greenest Olympics, and yet how in the world can you do that? How can you keep that promise if you're choosing the non-sustainable route at Eagle Ridge Bluffs when there are sustainable routes that the government should have studied in the past and that allow us to retain our Olympic promise to the world? I mean, let's face it, if it weren't for the promise of sustainability and the highway expansion, all included in the Olympic bid book, Canada never would have won the Olympics in the first place. We won it by, I believe it was 2 votes. So we're going to be going right at the public and at VanOck and our government, basically demanding that they keep their promise. So you're going to see banners all over Vancouver at peak rush hour times. You're going to see us rallying at any opportunity, any VanOck event, any Gordon Campbell event. We're in the midst of 30 days of sustainability in Vancouver, sponsored by Alcan, and we're going to be going after Olympic sponsors, asking them to hold VanOck and Gordon Campbell to the Olympic promise. We've got Globe 2006 coming up at the end of this month, which is all about sustainability. I mean, it's a farce to have this huge sustainability focus and these bright people coming in from all over the world to hear about sustainability when we've got this travesty about to take place in basically almost downtown Vancouver. And I'm talking Eagle Ridge Bluffs at Horseshoe Bay.
What can people do to help with all of that? Do you have actions coming up or suggestions of things that people can do?
Well, they can certainly rally with us at 11:30 in the morning this coming Monday when Gordon Campbell speaks to the Vancouver Board of Trade at the Weston Bayshore downtown. That's this coming Monday from 11:30 till 12:45. My guess is there'll be close to 1,000 people at this lunch. It's a 2010 lunch, and we're going to make everybody very aware that the Olympic promise is on the line. On April 1st, we're having a training on civic responsibility, let's call it, all aimed at what we're going to have to do to save the Bluffs. Again, that's on April 1st. There's going to be a lot of things that we've got going, and I think that the best the listener can do to stay on top of things is focus in on our website. And that's www.eagleridgebluffs.ca. Eagleridgebluffs.ca will keep everybody up on what's happening and also allow you to easily communicate and send emails to the Premier, to John Furlong at VanOck, and to Jacques Rogue, the head of the International Olympic Committee.
Well, thank you, Dennis, for speaking with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Dennis Perry. He is president of the Coalition to Save Eagle Ridge Bluffs. You can find a link to the coalition's website on our website, which is cooperadio.org/redeye.